Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shmini. This week also I want to announce the summer program schedules are now available. Additional information is available as part of the show notes. The summer program schedule this year include a theme for each of the sessions. The first session will be June 1st through 22nd, Our Jewish Body, Our Jewish Selves. June 30th through July 21st will be the second session, I Am Me, You're Not Me. And the third session will be July 25th through August 12th, Israel is Real. The complete course schedules are available on the web, and you can check the show notes to see the information. In addition to the summer program, there is the Executive Learning Seminar this year. It'll be July 4th through 8th. And there is a videotape that's now available of what some of last year's participants had to say about the program. I urge you to check it out. The Executive Learning Seminar is slower paced for people who want to take a little bit more relaxed version of the learning, but still is quite intensive. And this year's theme is Rabbi Akiva, Romance, Repentance, Revolt, Mysticism, and Martyrdom. During the seminar, we will explore issues including the dangers and promise of mystical exploration, Charity Begins at Home, What Example Do We Set for Our Children? Martyrdom in Judaism, What About the Supreme Value Placed on Life? False, Failed, and True Messiahs and Their Political Implications, and also The Battle with Temptation, the Yetzer Hara. We will be visiting, amongst other places, the awesome Bar Kochba caves in Beit Givrim and Tzipori, once a center of Jewish religious and spiritual life in the Galil and the birthplace of the Mishnah. All that is a part of the Executive Learning Seminar. And as I mentioned, there's also a video that's now available that you can watch. The web address for all of that is available, again, as part of the show notes. So this week, it's a new podcast from Rabbi Daniel Landes on Shmini. Rabbi Daniel Landes is the Rosh HaYeshiva and director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parasha of Shmini gives an intricate and intensive description of the final day of the dedication of the tabernacle and speaks of the great glory that took place, a time of tremendous enthusiasm. And then with that enthusiasm in the air, the terrible tragedy that takes place with the illicit offering by the sons of Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, who were destined for greatness, but were then struck down. Glory. Chapter 9, verse 22, Perek Tet, Pasuk Chaf Bet. Vayisa Aharon et Yadav el Ha'am, vayivarachem. Vayered me'asot hachatat v'hola v'ashlamim. And Aharon lifted up his hand toward the people, and blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And then the dynamic duo is together, verse 23, Chav Gimel. Vayavah Moshe Aaron el Ahomoid, vayitzu vayivarachu et ha'am. Vayirach chavot Adonai el kol ha'am. And Moshe and Aaron went into the tent of meeting and came out and blessed the people and the glory of the Lord. Kavod Hashem, glory of the Lord, appeared to all the people. And there came a fire. Vatetze esh milifnei Adonai, vatochal mizbeach et ha'ola v'tachalavim, vayar koha'am, vayoronu vayiplu apneim. And there came out a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed, or ate up upon the altar, the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted, and fell on their faces. A time of tremendous glory, tremendous exaltation. Now the tragedy. Vayichu, this is now Perek Yud, the next Perek, next verse. Yud Allah, Yud, Pasuk Aleph. Vayichu v'nei Aharon Nadav Avihu ish machtato. Vayitnu v'hin eish v'yasumu aleha ketoret. Vayakrivu v'nei Adonai eish zara. Asherot Siva Otam, the Nadav Avihu, the sons of Aharon, took each of them his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it and offered a strange fire before the Lord, which he, God, had commanded them not. Vatesi esh lifnei Adonai v'tochal otam, v'yamutu lifnei Adonai. And the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Many commentaries have expended much effort to kind of explain how the tragedy came after the glory, how it was possible that two great sons should sin in such a way, and why the ruthless punishment, many explanations. Some of them have been explained in previous podcasts. But today I'd like to look at an insight. If we go to the first part, the part that we talked about regarding the great glory, the great Kavod Hashem, if we go back to the ninth parak, Parak Tet, and we go back to verse 22, and about a kind of a discussion, kind of an understanding which seems to be minute, but then again tells us something. Well, remind us of the verse. At the end of the dedication, Vayisa Aaron et Yadav el Ha'am Vayvarachem, Vayired Me'asotach Atatvallah V'Hola V'Ashlamim. And Aaron lifted his hands to the people and he blessed them. And he came down from doing all these sin offerings and all these burnt offerings and the peace offerings. And the simple question is, well, what blessing was he making? He blessed them, but he blessed them how? And there's two possibilities, and each of them have their own kind of problematics. Perhaps it was a special blessing. And if you say it's a special blessing, just as Shlomo did a special blessing when he dedicated the temple, it's a special blessing. This explains how Aharon, on his own, made a blessing, kind of answering the question about not just what type of blessing it was, but how is it that he did it alone? There was other priests, his sons, his four sons. He said, yes, this is what Aaron did, because we also know from a later context of Solomon, of Shlomo, dedicating the temple being the replacement or the other incarnation, as it were, of the tabernacle, that this is a blessing a person does on their own. And that would explain that. Of course, we don't hear what I think is still problematic, is the form of that special blessing. What is that special blessing? By Solomon, we get it in spades. It's really, you know, detailed. Why not here? But still, even though that's a difficulty, we understand certainly why the sons weren't there. But perhaps that was the explanation of why being a special blessing is actually according to Nachmanides. Now, Rashi has it. No, very simple. He blessed them. He blessed them with a normal blessing. In other words, the blessing of Birkat Kohanim, the blessing that was, may the Lord bless you and keep you, in the three-part blessing, shining his countenance upon you. And this three-part blessing, this, of course, that's what a Kohen does. That's what the great Kohen, that's what Aaron does when he blesses people. He blesses them with a special blessing entrusted into him and to his sons and to all descendants of him, to bless the people of Israel with love. And certainly that explains why the blessing is not detailed. You know, the problem we had of saying it's a special blessing is that it's not detailed. We don't hear it. But if you say it's a normal blessing, as Rashi does, it's not a problem. But then there arises another problem, in case you go in that direction. The other problem is, why is it Aharon alone? If it was a special blessing, just like in the case of Solomon, that a special blessing a person says on their own. It's his own special blessing that he's giving to the nation. But if it's a blessing that is the standard blessing, standard is not such a great word. Maybe we'll say the classic blessing. Maybe even that's not a great word. The paradigmatic blessings of all time, which is the priestly benediction. Why is it that Aaron gives alone? It's not entrusted only to him. It's entrusted to him and his sons. And that particular specific problem is raised by the Oznayim LaTorah, the ears to the Torah, or giving an ear to the Torah, the work by Zalman Ben Sion Sirotskin, who properly can be called a Rav, a Gaon, a Tzaddik, a rabbi, a tremendous sage, a righteous person who was the head of the Beit Din in the year of in the town of Slutsk, and later on came to Eretz Yisrael, was recognized as a great rabbi. And in his beautiful commentary, he talks about that specific question. He doesn't connect it to the larger question about Nadav Avihu, but the specific question of, like, if we go according to Rashi, that it's a normal blessing, which seems a great way of saying it, because by being saying it's a normal blessing, we understand why it's not detailed. It's the standard blessing. It's the classical blessing. It's the paradigmatic blessing. It's the blessing of all time. Why is it that he's saying it alone? He should have been saying it with his four sons. And the Oznaim LaTorah, Rav Sirotskin, has a terrific idea. He says, well, let's consider the ages of these young men. They were young men. And according to the Zohar HaKodesh, the Holy Zohar, these young men had not achieved their entire maturity. I'll detail that in a moment. The Zohar HaKodesh says, in context of another verse that comes a little later, when God tells Moshe, Daber el Aharon ve'el banav, speak to Aharon and to his sons. Excuse me, when it says, the Zohar HaKodesh, I'm sorry, when it says in Achrei Mot, in reference to the fact, Achrei Mot Shnei B'nei Aharon, excuse me for that, Achrei Mot Shnei B'nei Aharon, after the death of the two sons of Aharon, the Zohar has its own problem with that verse. Why isn't the names of Nadav Avihu mentioned? You lose sons, their names should be specified. So Zohar says, no, they were still young, and they were still within the reshut, or the confines, or the technical term in the Zohar, the avon, within the sin province of their father. I mean, their father still had responsibility for them. And therefore, in that verse, we see already that they are young, and Oznaim LaTorah, Rav Sirotskin, grabs on to that idea and said, yes, you know, age is very important when it comes to Birkas Kohanim. There's two parts of what a Kohen does, begadol, if we think of it, you know, on a macro level. One is the service in the temple, in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, later on in the temple. And that service commences when they reach puberty, which is when they have the first growth of hairs in their pubic region, two hairs, and that onset of sexuality, which is evidenced by that, they're already ready to do avodah, because what comes with that sexuality is of evidence of their puberty, comes with the notion of, now it's time to serve God. But in reference to the other great tasks that they do, the Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of the priests, which we've been talking now, actually that only comes, it's a pretty detailed description, when the Zaken Tachton, when their lower beard, meaning they're in the genital regions, when they achieve a full growth of their hair there. Only then can they bless the people Israel. So that explains to us why at this moment, according to Oznaim LaTorah, why at this moment, when it says Aaron blesses the people, and if we go according to Rashi, that he blesses them with the standard paradigmatic classical blessing, the tripartite blessing, the Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of the priests, and not the occasional blessing, which we understand could be done, a special blessing done by a single person, but it's the paradigmatic blessing. Why the other sons are, the sons as a whole, are not mentioned? Because actually, they do not have that responsibility of blessing yet. We do have an halacha that they're allowed to offer their voices in blessing before they achieve their full achievement of puberty. And when they have their full achievement of puberty, when they're zakein tachton, when their lower beard, put all that in quotation marks, when their lower beard is full, then they can do birkat kohanim. But until that time, they cannot. And if they do offer their prayers, It's only as a choral accompaniment, levasem, to perfume, which means a choral accompaniment to the real Birkat Kohanim, the real blessings of the priest, which is done by those who have achieved their maturity. And of course, in Aharon's time, he was the only one. These other sons were younger. Now, Znaim LaTorah stops there, because the Znaim LaTorah of Sereskin was just interested in this question: why aren't they mentioned, according to Rashi? Why aren't they mentioned? The sons are mentioned in the Birkat Kohanim, and we have the answer: is that they had not achieved full extension of their sexuality, therefore they cannot bless. But this occurs, I think, to give us an insight into what might have happened with Nadav Avihu and why their sin. Why is it that they can only bless once they've achieved true puberty? Well, I believe that the rabbis are hitting upon the notion that a blessing has to come from a full person. On some level, we're never a full person. We're constantly attempting to achieve shleimut and completeness. On the other hand, while that is a great notion in Jewish thought, that you were always trying to achieve completeness, halacha is a little bit simpler and easier. And one of the ways it's simpler and easier is, yes, this comes, is when you're fully a sexual person, when that has occurred. At that point, you're a fully sexual person, you merge your sexuality with the other parts of your identity, and yes, that's a point in which you can offer a blessing. Before that, you're just a kid. And just a kid, it's extraordinarily important transition time. The Torah honors it. Halacha honors it. The priest is ready to serve. He's ready to take all that energy and render it into service, but cannot do blessing. This transition stage, which allows for service, but does not yet allow for offering the blessing, is a period of chaos. It's a period of anarchy. It's a period of adolescence. It's a period of change and transformation. And therefore, it is a dangerous period. Nadav Avihu, who recklessly took the fire pans, the censer, another term in English, and offered Esh Zara, strange fire, did it out of adolescent zeal, which they could not contain. And at that moment, they went beyond what they were able to do. They went beyond the normal type of avodah, which is prescribed, and they needed to go to a place where they could not yet achieve. They're not ready to bless the people. They're not ready to achieve a full and complete service of God. The Torah warns us or illustrates to us that we should take very seriously times of transition. We should take very seriously the power and the passion, but often the recklessness that takes place during these transition times. These are transition times that are emotionally often difficult. These are transition times that socially are often awkward. This is a transition time which, including in modernity, in which depression, suicide, acting out occurs. And that might be one of the interpretations that we can understand Nadav Avihu in their adolescent fury of passion. They go beyond everything else that they know, and they go to a realm which they cannot yet achieve. And the Torah says, be careful. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom. Interested in your thoughts. Have a wonderful Sabbath.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on a podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Please check out the show notes for all the information about the summer programs at Pardes. And also, thank you again for tuning in. See you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.